we are moved in that direction. What a wonderful gift to us. And so thank you for those who move us in that direction. Friends, I trust that you are there. I would like to read Proverbs 9 in its entirety so that we can hear these words. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and she has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come and hear, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman, folly, is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city. She calls out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come and hear, she says, to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Lord, we want to ask that you would enlighten the eyes of our heart that we might see and understand your word, and that it would transform us so that we leave different than the way that we came because we've encountered your word, and it's a living word, and you provide it to us to enliven us to live for you in the dailiness of our lives. And so we ask that you would do that. We pray that you would place a particular anointing both on the words but also on our minds and hearts so that we can receive it afresh. And so we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do a work among us that we cannot do for ourselves. So we're leaning in. We're leaning in to rely upon you to transform us. And as we do, that we would keep in step with you, that we would align our steps with yours. May it be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin by reminding ourselves where we've been. So this is our last week in Proverbs, and I want to tell you that my goal has been not to teach you everything there is to be taught about Proverbs. Such a goal would be arrogant on my part, and if we even shorten it from there, more ambitious than I'm capable. However, what I've sought to do is to teach you how to read the book. Right? We haven't dealt, and we won't deal, with chapters 10 through 31. But what I hope to have taught you is how to read chapters 10 through 31. And so the setup of chapters 1 through 9 prepare us for what comes in 10 through 31. And as you read the book, you really can tell there's a big difference between the first 9 chapters and the rest of the book. So let's review where we've been. We began week one by acknowledging that wisdom is evangelism. And we ended that by saying, wisdom, therefore, evangelizes. Right? Wisdom is evangelism because she cries out to us. She makes her wisdom known. It's not hidden wisdom, right? It's not hidden knowledge. Wisdom comes and makes herself known. She cries aloud in the public square. And she does so that we might learn from her and that as a result that we would bring public blessing, public benefit by the way in which we live our life. And then we looked in week two that wisdom is discipleship and therefore wisdom disciples us. Wisdom then teaches us how to stay on the path that will get us to the destination where we want to go. If you get off of the path, know that there is a place where you come to a drop-off. And if you're not staying on the path, then you fall down to your end, is the way that Proverbs teaches that. And so Proverbs is a good guide. She's a discipler who shows us, tells us, keeps us on the path so that we can get to where we want to go. Last week, we shared how wisdom is discernment. Wisdom discerns. And this is recognizing the fruit so that what we put up to our lips, do you remember this, is good fruit. Like, and so the Proverbs, we're now attaching ourselves to wisdom. And so we shared a little bit about a wedding ceremony last week and the idea that we're putting our lips so closely together. I shared this definition that I came across to years back of kissing is the act of getting two people so closely together that they cannot see anything wrong with each other. And so who we attach ourselves to is important. We need to discern that, right? And so we need to recognize the fruit so that before we put our lips up to it, we know whether it's good or bad fruit. Then this week, we're looking at wisdom is provision. There it is. Oh, hold on. There we go. We're at wisdom is provision. That wisdom not only cries aloud, not only is good fruit, not only is teaching us how to stay on the path, but wisdom provides us a way of life. There's a provision that wisdom gives to us. Right? So this life isn't just presented to us and like, well, good luck. But that wisdom is the resource that we need in order to walk out this life that she tells us that we can have. A life that is not only blessed, but is a blessing. That it is lived as a public blessing. And so as provision, she's providing what we need to know in order to live this life. And the way that wisdom is provision is presented here in Proverbs chapter 9 is a home. And so you'll see here that Lady Wisdom is an honorable homemaker, whereas Woman Folly is a hideous hostess. I also think words that could go there if you like them better would be horrific or horrible. She's not a good host. You do not want to go into her house. But we need to compare these homes. And it's important that we compare these homes because both of these women do the same action. Both of these women in Proverbs, they both make themselves available at the heights, and they cry out to those who have not chosen a home to go into. That is the same act, but a very different house, right? And so we need to compare the houses because both of them call aloud at the high part of the city. So they both cry out to say, you who are simple, you who don't have knowledge, you who are lacking wisdom, come in here. Right? They both cry out to those who have not chosen the home in which they will enter into. And so Proverbs chapter 9 gives us a look at the two homes. This is helpful for us. Lady Wisdom, we're told, builds her house. Not only has she built her house, but she has set out the seven pillars that make the house secure. So she's overseeing the work. She wants to know that this house is put together well, that the structure is solid, so that whatever might happen, that this house will stand, so that whoever enters this house can rest secure. What's interesting is that it says that she has hewn out, she has built, she has carved out seven pillars. Houses at this time would, the Jewish house would have six pillars. They would add a seventh in order to ensure stability, security. And so the fact that this proverb is telling us that wisdom has not only built a six-pillar house, but she wanted to make sure this house will stand regardless of what comes. She adds a seventh pillar in order to ensure its stability. She has overseen what meat is being prepared. She has gone out and made sure that the meat that is chosen is good meat. She has taken the time to mix the drink that will be served. She wants to oversee that what is being presented is what is very best. So she oversees the work. She's putting in the work. She has worked to build her house. She has worked to prepare the food. She has worked to mix her wine. And then she has worked in order to set the table so that it is ready for those who will come and who will eat. Then it says that she has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. I think that there are other translations that are better here, and the reason I say that is it's not as clear as I would like it to be. And the reason I say that is that the maids here, or the servants, those who serve under Lady Wisdom, there's still more preparation, more work to be done. And she is releasing them to carry out the work that she is doing. So they're embodying the same work that she is doing. So she has prepared the house. She's prepared the meat. She's prepared the wine. But there's going to be a lot of people that are invited. And so these that have already come in, they have been trained to then be servants in the same way that she is. They are a blessing in the same way that she is a blessing. And by her releasing the work, she goes out so that she can call at the high point of the city. Right? So she releases her servants. She releases those that are already in the house to serve just like her so that she can go out and call more in. Woman Folly, on the other hand, we read here in verse 13, Woman Folly is loud She is undisciplined and she is without knowledge. This is a direct opposite of Lady Wisdom. Here she's undisciplined. She hasn't made appropriate preparations for the house. She hasn't made preparations for the food. She hasn't made preparation for the drink. She has not done the work. She's not organized. Lady Wisdom is organized. That's why all of this is able to be done. Woman Folly is undisciplined. She's unprepared. Listen, it says that she sits at the door of her house. Not that she's built her house, just that she sits at the door. And then she's also sitting at the highest point of the city. Both are crying out. They call out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. And she says, just like Lady Wisdom, let all who are simple come and hear, she says to those who lack judgment. Look at verses 17 and 18. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. I'll get to verse 18 in just a second. Verse 17, where is then the meal that's being prepared? Where is that coming from? It is coming from a place where you steal it, just like the water, and you eat it in secret. If one thing that you can take note of is there is a lack of community in Woman Folly's house. It's a very divided house. Nobody eats together. Why? Because they're untrustworthy. I mean, the whole house is built upon the foundation that I steal in order to get what I want. If you have what I want, then I'll just take it from you. It's a very divided house. But this is the way in which Woman Folly's house is established. Look at verse 18. And this is distinctive from Lady Wisdom's house. But little do they know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Lady Wisdom sends out her servants in order to carry on the blessing that she is overseeing. She is organizing a people who have community and that they are an extension of the blessing that she is. What's fascinating about Woman Folly is that those who enter in eat food that's poisonous. It's divisive. And those that enter in, they die. There are none to serve because they have died. And those that are being called out to, that will enter in, is they will eat what is provided, which is poisonous, and they too will be in the grave. It's fascinating. Lady Wisdom, she invites us in order that we can carry on the very blessing that she is distributing. That we would carry that out so that the blessing keeps on going. But Woman Folly, she not only has killed those that have already dwelled, but she will murder those who come in. Not by an aggressive act, but by a subtle act of poison. I want you to know, friends, that there is a bountiful banquet that is being prepared. Oh, did I? Oh. Oh, skip the slide. That's okay. You can get after her. Yeah. I bragged about her the past couple weeks, and she's like, Ryan, don't you ever do that. Well, hey, so now I could say, hey, you get after her. She missed a slide. Just kidding. Hey, but you're blank here. You're blank here. Don't get after her. She's too sweet for that. Is a bountiful banquet. And both of them are preparing a bountiful banquet. Both of them are saying, come in and eat what I have provided. One of the beauties, and this is why I shared at the opening that I'm hopeful that you'll understand that I've taught you how to read the book, is that Proverbs 10 through 31 is the banquet table that's been prepared for us. So that when we read chapters 10 through 31, we're eating these morsels of food that have been set before us. So you can just read one proverb and say, man, God, I don't know that I understand, but that is delicious. That is good food, right? And so Proverbs 10 through 31 is this banquet that has been prepared for us. Not only does Lady Wisdom present us with this wonderful meal, but also we find in there the acts of folly as well. And so we come to recognize in this meal that's set before us by Lady Wisdom is the poison of acting and thinking foolishly. So even the meal itself teaches us how to eat well. Isn't that a gift? So we have all of these proverbs that are set before us, and we take them into ourselves, and we experience this banquet that has been set before us. And then we get to this slide. Again, every week I've tried to set before us a key verse or key verses. So I want us to look at these verses here. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That points us back to the very first week where we were at, right? Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. So here you can be wise and still be in the process of becoming wise. Isn't that wonderful? It's what is being offered to us is a continued feast. We can continue to receive that which has been prepared, that which is secure, that which will bring blessing, that which will stand. This is wonderful. And so we're being provided that over and over again. And this will provide us a peace-filled life. Now, we need to take a quick time out, and we need to define what peace is. What is peace, anyways? Oftentimes, a working definition of peace, right, would be a lack of trouble. Right, a calmness. I mean, there's just nothing going on that is disturbing or troubling or hard. I have peace. The Greek word irene is the word that's translated as peace, and peace means lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that your life will not have any troubles. It means that in your life, when you have trouble, you will have what you need because Lady Wisdom has already prepared for it. She's made her house secure so that when times of trouble come, that the house will stand firm. That meals will still be provided, that you will have what you need, because there's nothing lacking. Well, then the corollary of that is also true, right? So if there's a peace-filled life, then there's also a peaceless death. And here would be the opposite of peace. If a peace-filled life is a life in which nothing is ever lacking, right? That there's provision that's been made, then a peaceless death is that there's never enough. There's never enough. There's never enough. There's never quite enough. And friends, if you listen to people, they'll generally talk in one of these two ways. God has always met my needs. God has always been there. I've seen God faithful through the years. I've gone through some tough stuff, but God is real and he is faithful. But you also hear people say, you know, I've never had enough. It's never been good enough for me. There's never been enough for me. If only I had. You know, if people would just give me what I needed, then I would. You hear it. If you listen, you'll hear it. And I want you to know that it'll always go that way. We'll either have a peace-filled life in which we experience that God has indeed given us that which is what we need. Or it's to say, you know what, I'm unwilling to receive that which I need. I need more. I need more. Always more. Always more. So in this key verse, instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. If you go before that, in verse 7, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker because he will hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. And then we get to our key verses there. Woman folly invites us into a life of arrogance. Right, to say, I already know what I need. I already know the answer. I already know everything I need to know. There's a refusal to receive that which has been provided, that which has been prepared, that which is secure. It says, you know what, I know what's best. I don't need your help. I'm not interested in what you have to provide. And so woman folly is filled with arrogance. And this is why woman folly, this poison, is that it leads to a peaceless death. Always complaining, never enough, always someone else's fault. I already have everything I need. Not interested. Friends, if I can convince you of one thing, that each of these 4 weeks, we are being reminded that this is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. And to take from Deuteronomy, Moses' words to the people of Israel, these are not idle words. They are words of life. Choose life. And so the question that we end with before we get to this last slide is, will we read Proverbs 10 through 31 and receive them? Or will we ignore Proverbs 10 through 31 and say, I already have everything I need? Because the table's been set, the food's been prepared, the drink has been mixed, and the house is secure. You, friends, you could probably guess where we're going because I've been sharing with you that the Sermon on the Mount ends with wisdom metaphors. And so there in Proverbs 7, you are introduced to two houses. There is a house that is built, and it is built secure. It is built on the rock. that to use the metaphor of Proverbs is that it is a seven-pillar house. That these pillars, they have been carved out, and we know that they are secure so that when the storms come, not if the storms come, when the storms come, that the house stands. Yes. But there is another house, and it is also built, and it has the appearance of all the things that we might be looking for. And woman Folly, she cries aloud to us to say, come in here. But the house is not secure. So that when life's troubles come, that the house falls with a great crash. Wisdom has provided us a house that is secure. If we go back to the beginning, or earlier in Matthew chapter 7, I just saw this 2 weeks ago. I had never seen this before. So will you do me the great honor of being as excited as I was when I saw this? I literally sat in my office, and when I saw it, I had my journal on my desk. I shut my journal, and I smacked myself on the forehead. I was so excited, right? We are told there to ask and seek and knock. And they're in direct correlation with the metaphors that are picked up, right? That we are to ask who? We're to ask the good guide of Lady Wisdom. We're to ask her so that she can teach us how to stay on the path that will get us to the place we want to go. So who are we asking? We're asking Lady Wisdom, and she will teach us the narrow road so that we don't wander off the cliff and fall down to the grave. It's a matter of life and death. Who are we to seek? We are to seek good fruit. And the one who gives good fruit is Lady Wisdom. And so the one that we seek is the beautiful bride of Lady Wisdom. And we attach ourselves to her, that when our lips meet her, that good fruit is produced, friends. So the one that we seek is a beautiful bride. We have a good guide in Lady Wisdom. We have a beautiful bride in Lady Wisdom. And at whose house do we knock? We knock at the Honorable Homemaker's house, because she has overseen everything, all the preparations made. She's overseen the rock on which it's built, or to use the language of Proverbs, she has overseen and used her own hands to carve out the pillars, the rock by which this house will be held fast and secure. It's her house. It's the Honorable Homemaker's house that we go and we knock on and we say, I want to stay here. That was so exciting for me. So here we have this movement in the text that connects us to the metaphors of Proverbs. We ask the good guide, and we seek the beautiful bride, and we knock at the Honorable Homemaker's house. May it be so, so that as we read Proverbs 10 through 13, we find ourselves rejoicing that we have everything that we need, that we have wisdom is provision, and wisdom has provided. Hasn't this been fun? I've had fun. Jesus, we so want you to work this out in our lives. Oh, we do. We need you to work it out in our lives. We're desperate for you to work this out in our lives. This isn't just some well-put-together series of sermons. This is a well-put-together book that invites us into a life that is yours. And it is a life that will get us to where we want to go. And so we thank you, Father, that you have given us your wisdom. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would pursue you. And so, Lord, I'm just thinking ahead. We're going to be preaching Proverbs at a later date. And Lord, this maybe they'll forget that I've said this by then, and so it'll be really profound then. But Lord, you tell us in James that if we lack wisdom, we can ask you and you give it to us without finding fault. And then you connect that to yourself. You say that you are the God and Father who does not change like shifting shadows, and that all good gifts come down from the Father of a heavenly lights, and you don't change like shifting shadows. Ah! Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have demonstrated, you've embodied, you've made the manifest wisdom of God made known to us, because you're a direct reflection of the Father in heaven. Lord, as we go, I pray that you'd work out this wisdom in our life. May it be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?
Friends, let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I would ask that as we prepare ourselves to leave this place, that you would settle us down for just a minute and say, Lord, I really want a life of wisdom. I really want what Ryan's been talking about. I really want what Proverbs presents. And Lord Jesus, that we would take a moment and just quiet our hearts before you and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to work this out in my life. And I was taught a way to pray a while back about giving God permission to do what he said he would do. And so I just present this prayer to us. And if this is your heartbeat today, I'd ask you to just confirm it in your heart. Maybe say it in your mind. You can say it out loud. But to Lord, I give you permission to do whatever it takes to work out your wisdom in my life. Jesus, I give you permission to do whatever it takes to work out your wisdom in my life. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to do whatever it takes to work out your wisdom in my life. Jesus, you've heard us. It says you are at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And I believe that this is a part of your good pleasure and will. And so I ask that you would indeed work out your wisdom in our life in the days to come. and that we really would be a blessing to those around us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Friends, let me share this blessing. Remember the steadfast love and abundant forgiveness and plentiful redemption that God has given you in Christ. As you dwell in his grace, live a life full of active love for him and his children. Amen and amen.